Thank you, Lord. To the ladies, I just encourage you, there's many things on the kiosk for you as ladies, from an amazing life-changing experience at a retreat with Voice of the Martyrs. There's details back there. I tell you, it will be life-altering and changing for you. Also, there's one with our WOD, Women's Retreat, that the information's in the back. And then there's also an opportunity for the ladies to get together. My wife is doing a little bit of gathering for ladies. So if you're interested in more details, if you just see that little puff of blue and orange and green hanging above the kiosk, and my wife will be out there and she'll point you in the right direction. So I just encourage you with that. Also on the back kiosk, I'm not sure if anyone's been following the Canada Summer Jobs application. The government every year, they shift funds to try and help promote jobs amongst young people across Canada. It's a federal thing that happens across Canada. And so what they do is they end up releasing funds to nonprofits and charities and other businesses and other people that will want to apply for it. But this year, our federal government has made a stance to go against our charter right and freedoms, and they have declared that in order for anyone to get this federal funding, they have to check off a box saying that they agree and that they will realign themselves to the Liberals' mandate of accepting and promoting same-sex marriage, accepting and promoting gender terms, accepting and promoting abortion. And it's a part of a ploy by the Liberal government at this point to push underneath and to try and force the hand of people. I'm so grateful to say that not only do we stand here as a church, but as a PAOC, we stand along with many other churches and many other charities stand and say, no, we don't need money. It's not about that. We're thankful when the government gives us money, absolutely. But if you remember, and that in our question and answer time quite a while ago, we're going to have another one coming up. We talked about this idea of authority. The world teaches us that we have to have absolute, 100% unconditional obedience to all authority. And you can have conditional submission. Submission is the attitude of the heart. So, I'll do what you asked to do, but oh man, what an idiot. Oh man, I can't believe that. And our heart just gets turning and we just justify our words and action. That's how the world acts. But we that are saved, God says, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. It's different. And he calls us to 100% unconditional submission of the heart, that our attitude is always in check when it comes to authority. Always. And if it isn't, then we know something's not right in our heart. Doesn't matter how they treat us, doesn't matter what they look like, doesn't matter what they're doing. It's the attitude in our heart, because God is the one that puts all authority in place. And everything we do it unto him. Amen? So God calls us to unconditional 100% submission of the heart. But when an authority level, doesn't matter if it's in the church or outside of the church, whether it's in government or in your employee place, if they're asking you to do something that would cause you to sin before God or go against his word, then the word of God says that you have a right to stand up and say no. With the right attitude, but no. So we as a church, we as a denomination, we together with the churches of Canada are standing and saying no. You are crossing a line, no. Now, what that will mean down the road, it could mean that we lose our charity receipts. Whatever. It could mean we might have to start paying taxes on our building. That could be big, because that could be $40,000, $50,000 tag that we get tagged with, because right now the government doesn't charge tax to churches. But at the end of the day is, I want you to know from the leadership of Rockcliffe Pentecostal Church, we will not compromise the Word of God. It might hurt, but it's always right to do what's right, even if it doesn't turn out right for you and me, because we know who's in control, and we put our faith and our trust in Him. And so on that note, in the back kiosk, there is a little note from our superintendent of our Pentecost Assemblies of Canada, giving links, giving connections, so you can educate yourself on this matter. The PC government pushed the agenda faster and said, no, we want to talk about this. And they're looking for people to come alongside and say, you know what, hey, this isn't right. And that would sign a petition that would be a part of that. You can find all the information on a piece of paper that's on the kiosk. If you would like, on Monday, if you give a call into the office, Kim will email it to you so you don't have to type in 50 different letters to try and find out information. Then you can just click on the link and you'll be able to find out just really what's happening, what's the background of it, what's going on. This is a hot off the press. It's in the media right now. And this is more than money. This is more than jobs. This is a round of attacks that have been set in motion from the very first day of Christians have had their turn. It's in our child and family services, they say the same thing. If you're a Christian and you're in there, they're given, you have had your turn. And they're rearranging how they do everything to the government is trying to. Thank the Lord. There was a case where a couple was... they did not want to, or they told the children that were in their foster care that the Easter bunny wasn't real. And so they had the children ripped out of their home, and they got blacklisted and everything else because of their faith. It went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled that the CSA had no right to do that, and it was in violation of their Charter of Rights, which is a huge, huge stance. And that because we know from our Supreme Court, we have not had a lot of good rulings. There's been a lot of rulings in these last 10 years that have not been very healthy, that have not been in the better mind of Canada as a whole. But in that part, as I share these things, not to tell you what to do or that, but I share these things because I really do believe what I've been sharing with you and God's put on my heart over these last weeks is we are meant to be the change. We are meant to be that. But if only thing that needs to happen for good to prevail, I mean, for evil to prevail, is for good to do nothing. Your voice, everything you say and everything you do, it matters. You have the opportunity every time to bring light to something, to bring life to something, to bring blessing to something by the way we speak. The problem is, in honesty, out your amen, we have just got so caught up chewing each other apart, chewing everything that we like and don't like as if, you know, our opinions are matter. We have died to ourselves. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. It's not my opinion or my will or my way anymore, but it's His. And until we understand that, we are going to continue to clash with ourselves, the flesh and the spirit. We're going to clash with each other, and the world is just going to continue to rule and reign. But God has called you to rise. He's called you to be the man in your home, to be that woman in your home that will call down the kingdom of heaven, to be that in your workplace, to be that change. So I encourage you today as we again take another step towards this idea of being the change agent that God has called you to do, to understand that what you say and what you do actually matters. Today, I want to kind of break down some of the hindrances that stop us. I want to expose some of the lies that He's tricking us with. I don't know if you've ever grown up in your life of growing up that the enemy has done this to me so many times, and now I'm understanding and recognizing, I'm growing up a little bit and getting it. And that is, he constantly will come to me and he'll say, Oh, look what you said. Look what you did. Oh, this was in your yesterday. God would never use you. You're dirty. You're this, you're that, whatever. And he goes through all of these things to try and tell us why we cannot be a Christian, why we cannot make a difference. And that's why some of us, we get paralyzed in our seats and feeling that we're disqualified somehow because some person came and said, oh, you did this in your past or you did that, and so you're disqualified forever. Listen to me. I don't read any of that in Scripture. It's time that we rearrange our thinking, not just from the world's patterns, but sometimes from the patterns of good-willed people around us that have just got stuck on things that just don't matter, or got stuck on an opinion or a view, and come back to what the Scriptures say. Now, I'll be honest with you. When we look at Scripture, there's a lot of ouches because there's a little too much fill in there. And so when we look at Scripture, let's not look at Scripture to try and hit someone else with it, but let's look at Scripture and say, I surrender, Lord. What do you want to do in me? Why do I get agitated around this type of people? Why do I get defensive when someone brings this? Why do I rise with anger every time someone challenges this or that? And that we start to allow God to come deep within our heart and to be that change inside of us and to help us. We are at war. I don't know if you believe that or you understand that. Maybe our Canadian forces, they're all over the world right now. And I'm not talking about our Canadian forces or NATO and all of those things. I'm talking the fact that you and I are in a war. We're in a spiritual war that is going on all the time. And if we're oblivious to it, we can get overwhelmed and taken over. We need to understand the rules of war. In our today's society is totally different. Well, it's not really different, but you go back, remember the Redcoats? And that today, I think it's so foolish. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, they'd all stand up, all in a line, the enemy standing there in a line, and they all take pot shots at each other until enough falls down and they determine who thinks they're going to win, and then they chase after the other ones that run away. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. And then from there, it shifted to guerrilla warfare. It shifted to other things. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not for war. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying, in understanding these strategies of how things happen. And sometimes we come into the place, and understanding the engagements of war right now is so difficult on our soldiers. Because as Canadians, we set a set of morals and standards for our soldiers they have to follow. They can't fire on someone unless they're fired upon. Sometimes that fire upon is too late and they go down. But they have rules of engagement that they have to follow. And if they don't, they can come back and be charged and put in prison. Whereas they're fighting an enemy in most countries and places they're in that have no rules. They're going to do whatever it takes. You see, and we're in the same place. As a believer in Christ, we have set boundaries and rules on how to do warfare. How we're to act, how we're to respond, how we're to move, to turn the other cheek. He's told us many things. Because our fight's not against flesh and blood. Thank you, honey. Not against flesh and blood. And he gives us these rules of engagement and how we're to walk amongst each other and with the world and the things around us so we don't get distracted about really what's going on. If I say a statement, please let me finish before you throw me out. But both Satan and God want you dead. But each for different reasons. But we got to get that. God said in 2 Corinthians 4, 11 to 22, you can read that whole part, but I'll read it presently. It says, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. There's things as pastor I will not do and will not say. It's not because I can't, but I die to that part inside of me because I know how many eyes are watching me. And so it's not because, oh, I'm better or I'm this. No, I just choose not to do things, certain things or say certain things because I understand how many people are actually watching our lives. Yesterday, what an honor. I've done almost 70 funerals. And I'll tell you, yesterday was a sheer pleasure, honor, and super easy as a pastor to do the funeral. I can't always say that about some. Some squeak in by the skin of their teeth. Some, you're just not sure. But with Len, it was so easy to know he loved Jesus and love just came out of him, the love of God. It was so easy to do that funeral. So easy to be a part and that and walking through. But in that part is that he reminded, he had a moment in his life, shared about how when Barry, his son, was really young, and he said to his dad, you know, as his dad was talking, what do you want to be when you grow up? He says, I want to be just like you, Dad. I want to be you. Well, Len said that shook his life. Apart from his relationship with Jesus Christ, that was one of the most pivotal moments in his life that he realized, wait a minute here. I really need to take stock of what I'm doing and what I'm saying. I need to make every matter count, every time count, because I have people watching me. And I encourage you, and that as we take stock and we walk through this journey together, that we would begin to understand and realize that our lives matter more than we realize. I die in order that Christ lives through me to benefit you. And I hope you can say that same statement for your spouse, for your kids, for your neighbor, and for those around. We die in order that Christ lives through us to benefit Owen Sound. We sometimes can get this confused and we actually think that, you know, oh, well, if I come, God owes me. It's benefits to me. Listen, it's no longer I that live. It's not about benefits. You will get blessed. God will take care of you. God will love on you and do all sorts of stuff, lead you, guide. All those are just overflows of God's goodness. But I die so that Christ might live through me, so that it will benefit you, will benefit my wife, benefit my kids. See, sometimes we get caught up with what we're to do that we forget the why. But it's only the why that causes us to keep going. Not the what, but the why. So that everyone might taste and see that the Lord is good. Satan, on the other hand, be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking in whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8-9. His schemes, he's out to destroy you and to kill you and to rob you. And he'll do it in every way he can, in your relationships, in your family, your workplace. He just does not care about you at all. And we got to understand that. So let me just flip to the first PowerPoint slide for a moment. What happens at spiritual birth when we become a Christian? We open our hearts towards him. Just go ahead and click for me there a couple times. Click again, and one more. So what happens at spiritual birth? The moment we give our heart to Jesus Christ, and this is where some confusion, theologically terms, I'm just going to throw two out. One is called justification. The other is sanctification. So let me help you understand a little bit and break it down. See, the moment we get saved, the moment we give our heart to the Lord, we are made new instantly, 100% holy. The old is? Thank you. The old is? Gone. And the new has? Brand new day. Day one. mulligan, do-over. God washes us white as snow. We got to get in our heart because the enemy keeps reminding us of what we did yesterday. And so God does a work within our spirit, our soul, and our body. He wants you to be renewed. That's why when you got you're sick or you're going through something, he wants you to talk to him. He wants you to invite him into that circumstance. I don't understand why sometimes when I pray for some, they get healed, and others, it seems like they don't. I don't get it all. But God's ways are higher. And I'm not called to try and figure it out. I'm called to invite him every time. I'm called to bring him into the circumstance. I'm called to have enough faith to actually believe that cancer is a little C and Christ is the big C. To come into this place to actually lift him into there to understand, wait a second, he is in control. Not the world, not the government, not something else or some person speaking over my life. But he's in control and what he says, that's what matters. Your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and emotions. It's a progressive sanctification. Justification, Sunday school answer real quick, is just as if I never sinned, washes me white as snow. Sanctification is a process. Let me just ask a quick question. How many here believe that God's finished with you, you're perfect, and everything is okay? Put your hand up, actually. I was on an example, put my hand, but I better put it down because I can't. He's not finished with you yet. He'll be finished just like when he was finished with Len when he said, Len, come home. And Len went home. Until that day, you're meant to change. I'm meant to change. Until that day, we're meant to allow God's glory to come into our life so much that less and less of me gets shown. From glory to glory, may you abound. And sometimes we get in confusion and sometimes we get in things because Scripture says, hey, we're seated in heavenly places right now. And we're meant to understand that I'm sitting in heavenly places with the Lord. My spirit is being renewed because I'm with him and he is working inside of me and that I have authority he's given me to trample on scorpions, to declare to the enemy, no, you don't have a right to overcome all the works of the enemy. That's the authority he's given you and I as a believer in Christ, and we are to raise into that instead of allowing our flesh to pull us down because our mind gets sidetracked, because our emotions get hurt, because we get stubborn. And we come into that place of like that song we just sang, I surrender. I surrender all, Lord. If we have closets and we have areas in our life that are no-go areas to God, and that we end up really, it's not just, you know, okay, well, fill everything and I'll hold this, but really we're pushing him away. C.S. Lewis wrote The Screwtapes. It's a book or some writings that he wrote. He's talking about a chief demon in that writings of Wormwood, I think it was his name. It's a fictional book about one demon instructing his underlings and those that are around him. And this is a little quote. He says, I wonder if you asked me, this is Wormwood talking, whether it is essential to keep the patient, humans, in ignorance of our existence. The question, at least for the present phase of our struggle, has been answered for us by high command, by the devil. Our policy at the moment is to conceal ourselves so that humans will get distracted with each other. C.S. Lewis also said that there are two mistakes that the church makes when dealing with the devil. One is to blame everything on him. We blame everything on them. It's time for us to take ownership that, you know what, sometimes it's just us that need to smarten up. Amen? Or ouch. He says that that's the one, is that we blame everything on him, or we blame absolutely nothing on him, as if he doesn't exist. If you flip that next slide for a moment, this was very, very disturbing to me, not the picture and that, but what was disturbing to me is Barna did a study. It's an organization that studies and does surveys through the Christian church and kind of the atmosphere of what's happening around us. And as they did a poll and that on how many people believe that Satan is real in the general population, just randomly as they were walking around and doing things, only 24% of the world that we live in North America mindset under this study says that Satan actually exists. Okay, I mean, that's largely to do with the horror movies, largely to do with Twilights and all those type of things that just kind of dumb down the fact that, you know, oh, it's nothing, it's nothing, it's nothing, it's just a movie, it's just a thing. And it's just ploys of the enemy to try and get us distracted, to conceal himself so that we will end up fighting more amongst ourselves than actually understanding there's a spiritual battle. So that wasn't what really threw me. But then they did a study of the church. And this is what they found. That only 52% of Christians believe that Satan is real. You see, if we don't even understand that there's an enemy, we don't even understand there's a spiritual battle, then what are we doing? I'll be honest with you, the bar's got better music than here. They're professionally play well. Their vocals are great. You can go to some clubs, and I'll be honest with you, they smile a whole lot more than people in church do. Right? We know it's not about all of those things, right? But it's about the great I am. Speaking and moving, having his way. And if today, just by some way and somehow, by me opening my mouth and singing along with whatever Matthew was playing, would bring a release to someone else in the room, oh God, I die so that Christ might live through me, so that it might benefit someone else. I don't know about you, but the Bible says it's better to give than to. I get more joy when God gives me the opportunity to give. Whether it be in my words, my actions, my deeds, whatever it might be, so excited and something lifts me inside. Does it hurt sometimes? Absolutely, because it costs us something, doesn't it? And that's why sometimes we don't do it. Because we get nervous and, what are they going to think? And, you know, it's costing me something in my pocket that God's asking, or whatever he is asking you to do. But I'm going to tell you the joy that we miss when we say no. That deposit, that nugget of joy that gets put inside of us. The Bible says those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And what is our strength? It's the joy of the Lord is your strength. And those deposits of joy, God is constantly trying to push it into us and give us more and give us more. But we've got to be a people that simply say, yes, yes, Lord. Satan's strategy is to kill your destiny. It's to destroy your future. We need to understand that God has given us an assignment. He's challenged us, and the enemy in Revelations 12, 4 and 5 says, and the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. I don't know about you, and I don't understand all the things around the battle over abortion in Canada, but I'm telling you, Canada has let the ball down. We lead all nations around the world in abortion. Someone sent a picture on Facebook just a couple weeks ago to me. And it just, the caption simply said something like this, if I get it right, was like, "Does this not look like a baby?" And it was a picture of a little fetus that was, I think was 8 weeks old or something. And you could see everything. See, there's a battle going on right now in our court cases and over a man that stabbed his wife in the stomach and killed the baby out of a fit of rage and anger. And the challenge right now is whether he gets charged with first-degree murder for killing the baby, or it gets dropped to a minor charge of assault with intent to kill. And here's the case now. It's coming before the courts. And what they need to prove is the child alive in the mother's womb? We've been told by society for many years that a baby's not alive until it comes out of the mother's womb. And that's why they justify abortions okay right up until the last trimester. Now listen, I'm not against rights or this or that. Don't get me, hear me wrong here, but as a pastor over the last 23, 24 years, the amount of people that I've counseled, that I've spent time with, that have had abortion, the traumatic, emotional, and spiritual attack that they have gone through, because they knew, although the circumstances got so high up in front of their face, they couldn't see the truth. They couldn't see what their heart was echoing, and they felt desperate in that moment, and they made a decision, and they didn't really want to, but the pressure was on them. I mean, it's immense, and there's a bigger story behind everything than we understand. But with everyone, every single one, the regret, the hurt, the pain, the nightmares, the beating up themselves. Listen to me. God can forgive everything. God can make you new. No matter what you've done, no matter what you carry from your past, it's time to bury the hatchet. It's time to let it go, whether you were the recipient of something or someone else, and that you ended up doing to something else. It's time to let God into every area of our lives so that he can truly have control. There's nothing that you could share that could surprise God. You're not going to scare him off, because he already knew anyways. And he still said, "Come to me. I love you." This lie that the enemy has spoken to us for so much and so long, to try and get us beat up, to try and get us distracted to attack each other, to get us so distracted that we forget. It's prayer that changes everything. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there's not a time to stand up and say, "Wait a second here. You know, where you're headed is going to lead to this. Trust me, I've been down the road," or, you know, whatever it might be. But when we try to be Holy Spirit, we cross a line. And we try to throw rules and try to do this and try to do that, and we try to control, then we end up really losing control. God's word is what we stand upon, and when we stand upon it, it will never fail. You need to know your enemy. The next slide. You need to know your enemy. He's the angel of light. In 2 Corinthians 11:14, it says. He says he blinds the unbelievers, blinds the eyes of the unbeliever. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, he kills in Revelations 12:24. You can just click, Jamie, and I'll catch up to you. That's it right there. He's the lion. He's the devourer in 1 Peter 5:8. He seeks to kill and destroy in John 10:10. He's the accuser of the brethren all day long. Shakes his finger at you. Whispers in the back of your head, you're no good. You're not worth anything. Listen to me. Some of us today got to stop partnering with Satan in front of our mirrors. I might be bold in saying that, but you got to stop partnering with him because he's whispering lies into your head that you're ugly, you're this, you're that, you're never going to amount to something, and they're just lies from the accuser. And you got to just stop partnering with them, and you got to renew your mind. If you're having a hard time with that, you know, find another brother and sister in the Lord and give them a call when those thoughts come up until you can get enough momentum in your own strength and enough words around you. Start to write scripture and pastor it all over your home. People are going to think you're a freak, and it's okay. And that you, DC Talks used to say, I'm a Jesus freak, and it's okay. Do whatever it takes, or it will overtake you. And you will be controlled, not by God, not by Holy Spirit, by the enemy. It's time for us to understand he is at work. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. He's an accuser. And that he puts thoughts in my head, then comes around the front and shakes, oh, you're dirty, you're bad, you're this, you're that. And it's like, whoa, where did that thought come from? We got to take captive our thoughts. We've got to come into a place to understand our enemy and what he's doing. So that when all of a sudden someone looks different, acts different, smells different, whatever, in front of us, we don't automatically make judgment calls. It's called prejudice, racist. Well, we wouldn't admit those things, but we make those all the time. And we got to stop doing that. They might look different. They might act a little different. They might be a different age bracket or whatever it might be, or a cultural difference. But when we lower our guard and we understand and open our hearts to each other, we'll begin to understand, wait a second, the beauty of God gets shined best when we start to see the beauty in each other. Satan, it means opposer. He's the opposer of the brethren. He's the opposer of God. He wars against those who obey. In fact, the Bible says the moment you accept Jesus into your heart, you're putting a target on yourself because the world hated Jesus, they're going to hate you. In fact, you might have a mom and a dad or brother or sister or a family member or a very good friend. And all of a sudden, when you start to allow Christ to lead and more Christ gets shown than you, that might say, I'm not hanging out with you anymore. You think you're better than me. Or they might go on with something else. But see, it's in these times, it's in these tough times of life that we start to realize, do I really love Jesus? Is he really first in my life or is he not? I maybe because it's hot off the press, but I think of Len Johnson. The amount of times I went to see him in the hospice. He knew he was dying. He knew his time was short. God had already spoken to his heart and he was at peace. At times, he wrestled and struggled because it wasn't coming fast enough. Because he was ready to go home to be with Jesus. But in that part, as we had conversations and we talked, he'd be talking away with me. And then all of a sudden, he'd kind of slip into this, again, I don't know technical terms, but in almost like a deep sleep or a coma type state that even if you shook him a bit, he didn't quite come to. And he was just, all of a sudden, you know, we'd talk, so I'd shift gears from middle flow talking to him because he's gone for a few moments. So I talked to Cecilia. And, you know, I'd have a pause because his sleep apnea went from 5 seconds where he stopped breathing for 5 to 25 seconds, 30 seconds. So all of a sudden I'd pause for a moment and that because he's not breathing. It'd be quite some time, and then all of a sudden he'd take, okay, we're okay. And so then I'd talk to Cecilia, and we'd talk for a little bit. And then all of a sudden, Len, out of nowhere, all of a sudden he just comes too. His hands go up. Hallelujah. And he starts singing praises to God. You just start worshiping him. And then all of a sudden his hands would come down. And then he'd whisper a prayer. And he'd hardly hear. And I'd just love it on Jesus. And then all of a sudden he'd slip away for a bit. And then Cecilia was there at the time that it happened, where all of a sudden he's having one of those moments again, and he comes out and he says, I just saw the stairs. I just saw the stairs, and at the top of the stairs, it was Jesus. I saw Jesus. His face was radiant. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. In the toughest moments, like he's in a moment, I can't even fathom. He's wrestling in his mind, in his heart, and he'd already a couple times wrestled with God and said, no, I'm not ready to go. I love my wife. I love my family. I want to be here a little longer, and God allowed him a little longer. And he's got all of this to, you know, okay, how's my wife? She's going to make it. How's she going to get all the bills? Did I help her out? Did I do this? Did I do? And all those things I could imagine has got to be flooding through his heart and his mind. And yet really what's flooding through his heart and mind is I love Jesus. Oh, Jesus is so good to me. And he just kept echoing that over and over again. They say in the final words when someone speaks, you better pay attention because they're probably the most important words that they've ever spoken to you. And in those final words, he made sure that all of his grandkids and his family and those around that he had opportunity with, he brought them in. He loved on them. He cared. He asked questions. But then he turned around and he'd always say, make sure you follow Jesus. Let Jesus be your lover. Open yourself up to him. Why? Because that's the only way Len made it. Life wasn't always easy for Len. He shared some of the struggles that he had with cancer to other things as he grew life, but most of us would never know those things sometimes, maybe the cancer, but other different problems, because he always smiled. He always had a kind word. He always loved. And it was all due with the fact that he kept asking Jesus to give him more. Give more joy, more love. Help me out here, God. And he realized there was a real battle that was going on. We need to know our enemy. Ephesians 6, 10 to 13. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers in this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on your full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand. 1 John 3, 8, 9 says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Can I just simply finish here? You and I, if we have the great I am inside of our hearts, never have to sin again. Never. But because I'm not perfected yet, because there's still parts of Phil that fight to hang on, I find myself sinning with my thoughts, with my pride or my will of saying no to God, knowing what we ought to do and not doing it is sin, the Bible tells us. And so we have this wrestle back and forth. But can I just break the lie down that we don't have to anymore? It just requires us dying to ourselves, picking up our cross, and following him daily. When our feet hit the ground, we plop them on the ground and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Yesterday, I fell down. But today, I'm back up again and ready to go. Conversation with someone not too long ago, and they began to share with me about their struggles and what was going on, and my response back to them was totally puzzling to them because I got excited. I'm like, woohoo, that's exciting. And they're like, that's not very exciting. I messed up again. I said, no, I'm so excited because last time it took you 3 months before you came to me and talked to me and shared what God was doing. Now it was only 4 days. And you came to your senses and said, I don't want that anymore. And you changed. And I'm like, that's exciting. Oh, I wish it was maybe instant, and you might wish it's instant, and that's called a miracle, and God does perform miracles in us. But he doesn't always do it that way when it comes to character development, when it comes to the core things in your heart that you wrestle with and struggle. And everyone in this room wrestles and struggles with something. We all do. Because we ain't in heaven yet. It might be different than the person next to you. But listen to me. We as believers categorize sin. And I'll tell you the secret on how Christians categorize it. It's simply this. If I don't do it, then those are big ones. But the things I do, oh, they're little white ones. They're not a big deal. It's not a big deal. But if I don't do it, oh, God hates that one. Oh, he just wants, oh, I can't believe. Aren't we like that sometimes? Don't say amen to that. But it's true. Before you look at the speck in your brother's eye, deal with the plank in yours. God is really wanting to do something real here. I really believe with everything in my heart. That's why my wife and I, we sold everything. We came. We're a part of this because I am so excited for what God is wanting to do, not only in Rockcliffe, but this region. He's looking for a bride that without spot or wrinkle. Now, when I say that, we can turn, I'm not perfect. I can't be in there. No. He's looking for Davids that understood that when he messed up, he knew where to go back. Whether it was a minute, a day, a month, whatever, he turned. As soon as he realized what he was doing, he flipped and said, God, lead me and help me. I don't want that. And then he rearranged his life so he wouldn't go back in that direction. God's looking for Joshua and Calebs. Against the tide that is ever pressing around us, to go to the right or to the left, away from God's word. He's looking for men and women that stand and say, you know what? I'm staying on his word. It's like Len, one of the conversations they had, he said, Pastor, I've held on to Jesus this long and he's held on to me. He says, pray for strength. I don't want to let him go. I don't want to get distracted by pain and heartache and all the things that kept flooding into his heart and the enemy kept trying to lie to him. He said, just pray for strength because I don't want to let him go because he's been so good to me. May God do something in your heart and my heart today that we would surrender to him that one area or that place that we would say, ooh, it's just the way I am. No, it's not the way you are. It's not who you are. It's just a pattern that you've allowed the enemy to lie in to get you stuck. But God wants you to be free. You're never too young and you're never too old. Because as long as you have breath in your lungs, there's still something God wants you to do, and you need to be free in order to do that. We'll talk about the hindrances in the weeks to come and that about just how we can shut doors on the enemy, how we can rearrange and that our lives to line up to what God asks and why it comes to be so much joy to follow him. Kind of lost that joy in serving the Lord. Today he wants to bring it back. Kind of got distracted by things around, looking at specks in people's eyes or whatever it might be. Today he wants to renew your vision. If you've been listening to a lot of stuff and the enemy's been beating you down, today he wants to renew your hearing. Matthew, just come on there, and if you could just lightly play, we're going to sing that song, I Surrender. I'm going to close the service by challenging us and that to pause. And I mean this with all sincerity. I will stay as long as needed. But as before you just get up and leave, that you will ask the Lord, what do I need to surrender today? What's had control of the way I think? Whether you are always looking half empty at something or looking to the negative to something, and God wants to renew your mind. Whether it's what you're hearing, and no matter what, all you're hearing about yourself or whatever is not good. Or maybe you're feeling disqualified and the enemy's trying to whisper in your, that you're not allowed. You can't do this. You can't do that. I don't hear those things in Scripture. Today I want our daddy to speak over us. So if you want someone to agree with you over something, then as we begin to sing, I'm going to ask you just to come. There's many great people here that will not judge, that will not turn around and look at anything, but will help you lift it to God. Because our desire here at Rockcliffe is that every one of us would be restored. We'd learn how to relate to each other, and most importantly, relate to Him, so that we could be about our Father's business. Because there's stuff to be done. There's souls to be saved. There's light to be lit. So if you want to come and find a place, or if you just need to make a shift, maybe it's two seats forward from your where you are, just to make a step to say, you know what, I'm going to leave that behind. I don't want to pick it up again. So I'm going to get out of my seat and I'm going to move to a different seat, or I'm going to come to the front as an act, physically overlapping with the spiritual, to say, I'm going to surrender this area. The statistics blow me away when they talk about pornography. It's not just on men now, but in women. In the world, you know what? It doesn't blow me away. Because the world's blinded by the enemy. I get it. But in the church, it's close to 8 out of 10 men that the enemy struggles and throws things at and tries to distract. You're not alone. To our women, don't nail on the men, because there's a long list for you too, just like the guys. We all are struggling with different things, but it's time to let our guard down. Yes, be careful who you share with. If someone's immature, don't go talking to them. Love on them, pray for them, lift them. But if you're in a place you really need someone, find a mature brother or sister in the Lord, because two are better than one. And begin to pray. Prayer changes everything. Everything. Junior high, I've been praying for my mom. She had a surgery on her eye. 1 in 2,000 chance anything going wrong. It's so easy in a basic of a surgery. She was the one. Blind. One eye. They said, maybe we can try another surgery, but you'll never get it fully back. Just like that. She called me up. We started to pray. I brought it to her junior youth. Junior youth. And my daughter brings a pray for my grandma. So we prayed for her together as a group. I went down to see her. She can see color. She can see shapes. Her pressure was high. So I said, let's pray about that. So I came back from that time of being down there, junior youth again. We're praying. I get a call after, on Saturday, after the Friday junior youth, Phil, you never believe it. I said, oh, I'm sure I will. You'll never believe it. My pressure in my eye is down. The surgeon specialist I saw says I don't need to have surgery and that my eyesight should come back 100%. I'm seeing better now than I did even when I was down with you. And I said, listen, God hears everything. I don't understand it all, but I do understand the fact that my daddy is good. And he is big, and he is strong, and he just did something through the lives of young junior youth daring enough to pray. Imagine what he can do through you and me. So as we sing this song, I'm going to ask you, if you want to come and just gather around the front and just come as an act of, you know, God, I'm going to surrender, whatever it might be. Or maybe you're here today. You've been wrestling with God. Maybe you've walked away for a bit. No, he hasn't walked away from you. He's still there. He says, hey, I'm still here. I'm still here. Let me in. Let me in. Today would be your day as you surrender to him. Whatever the reason, whatever the cause, it's a good day to open your heart to the Lord. So let's stand today. And that as we sing this song, and as I say, if you need to sit at some time or move around into a different seat just as to make that connection or come up, and that we would love to pray with you. And let's journey this together. Let's go on a quest, on an adventure together to see truly what God has in store for Rockcliffe, what he has in store for your life and mine. Because I'm telling you now, it's a whole lot more than what is in you and me right now, because he's not finished with us. He's still got something else he wants to do. So let's sing together and let's open our heart. Don't leave today until God's finished what he wants to do in your heart. I'll stay as long as needed, but let's sing together.
And I surrender all to you, all to you,
every area, Lord.
And
all fear be gone, because perfect love casts out fear. All to you,
and I surrender.
By this act, this step, Lord, today, this shifting today, we say we surrender. No longer that old pattern,
surrender,
but be made new.
All to you.
All to you. Oh, Lord, I'm giving you my heart.
I surrender.
Jesus.
All to you.
And I surrender.
All to you.
All Lord, I'm giving you my heart. Let's sing that. Lord, I'm giving you my heart.
And all that is within. Lay it all down.
Don't worry about what someone else is going to think. This is you and God. It's a great moment.
Giving you my dreams, laying down my rights. I'm giving up my pride for the promise of new life.
Sing that again.
I'm giving you my heart. And all that is within, I lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. I'm giving you my dreams, I'm laying down my rights, I'm giving up my pride for the promise of new life.
I surrender. all of my attitudes, Lord. All of those words, those lies, those habits.
All to you.
We surrender to you.
All to you. I'm singing you this song.
Oh, hear our hearts cry, Lord.
At the cross. And all the world holds dear. I count it all as loss for the sake of knowing you. The glory of your name, to know the lasting joy, even sharing in your pain. And I surrender.
If you're married here today, grab a hold of the hand of your spouse.
All to you.
As you begin to sing this, sing it over your marriage. Some of the battles and some of the fights that we have is only because of our pride and sometimes our stubbornness. But the person next to you, they love you so much. They chose you. They long for you. You're the best thing that happened in their life. So I surrender all to you, all to you. Oh, as a couple, Lord, we declare that we surrender together to Christ. For a cord of three is not easily broken. We put you in the center. Lead, guide our conversation, our actions. Oh, Jesus, we pray. We give you our marriage, our family.
I lay it all down
for the sake of you, my King.
I'm giving you my dreams, laying down my rights. Giving up my pride for the promise of new life.
Oh, when we surrender all to you, all to you, and we all to you. Oh, yes, Jesus. Hear our hearts cry this morning, Lord. Thank you for the work you're doing in marriages even now as we speak. Thank you for the restoring and the repositioning you're doing, Lord, between mothers and daughters and fathers and sons. God, Lord, you said in the last days that they would be restored. You'd be drawing them in. So, Lord, I pray and thank you, Lord, for what you are doing. We just align ourselves up to the truth of your word. Thank you for what you're doing in each and everyone's heart. Thank you that we can hear your voice. It might look different, but it's going to be uniquely crafted for me because you know my heart. So thank you, Lord, for speaking into everyone's heart today. We open ourselves. Thank you for restoring areas. Thank you for just the freedom, Lord, of taking the step and acknowledging I struggle. Or I believed a lie. Thank you, Lord. So now, Holy Spirit, would you just begin to start to speak truth? For the way to break a lie is to speak truth. The way to break a curse is to speak blessing. You are highly favored. You have been made holy and pure. So, Lord, I pray, God, Lord, whatever is trying to hold back, to try and blot out, to try and destroy, God, may it backfire on the enemy. And not only would you set us free, but with the same freedom and comfort you've given us, may we give to those around us so that others might be free. Thank you for a new day. Thank you for a new season for Rockcliffe. Lord, we just come in agreement together. It's just a new season. And we are very thankful for it. We are very thankful, Lord. So, Lord, I speak blessing and favor. I know you're not finished with some, so, Lord, I pray that you just, Lord, finish the work. Don't leave. Don't leave until you feel like God has spoken that. And if you're struggling and you just can't get that break, grab a hold of someone. Grab a hold of someone and link in and pray together, because God wants to do that work for you today. Lord, we just speak blessing, victory, your authority. Lord, would be restored to your bride, that wherever we go, everything will change. Oh, maybe not in an instant, or maybe not what we can see, but we know that you're going before us and you're coming behind. And wherever you are, everything starts to change. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Give us the boldness and the confidence to speak that which is not as if it is. The faith to rise up, Lord, to speak and to see circumstances, negative and problems, as just opportunities for your glory to flow. So, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, all over Owen Sound, we would hear echoes of people being healed, people having dreams and visions. Lord, people and that coming with questions and an awakening inside of their spirit, and that there's got to be a God. There's got to be something real. Lord, we just pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that no one else from Owen Sound would die without someone sharing you. Jesus, I thank you, Lord. You've called us. You've set us apart for a reason. And I thank you for the doors of opportunity you're going to open this week for us to love on those around us. And so, Lord, we give you praise, we give you glory and honor in the name of Jesus Christ. And all those that need to go, we bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. And remind you tonight at 6:30 we have prayer. And that, but please don't go this morning until you get that break and that shift.